Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 19. Suffering, death, and resurrection ahead. Let's look at those verses. Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again." This is Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. This is the third time he told his disciples of his coming suffering. Jesus was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and to be the sacrifice. On the road, it's interesting because Jesus took advantage of travel time to teach his disciples. You know, like radio preachers, talk shows, drive time tapes, different teachings. As I studied this text, three questions occurred to me. Why the privacy? Why the prediction? And why the proclamation? First, why the privacy? Well, look at the second part of verse 17. Jesus took the 12 disciples aside. His closest followers may be able to bear the news of what was ahead, but some of the weaker followers might turn their backs on Jesus. The crucifixion was a scandal, and some of the stronger followers might decide to take up arms and defend Jesus, causing an uproar. So, why the privacy? Well, second, why the prediction? Look at the second part of verse 18. The Son of Man will be betrayed. This was the third time he taught the disciples about what lay ahead for him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day he will be raised up.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Also, the three on the mountain with Jesus heard this lesson another time. In Luke chapter 9, verses 28 down to 31. "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." Repetition, listen to me, repetition keeps the reality in focus. Jesus knew that suffering was ahead. It was the doorway of his mission as the Savior from sin. Viewing death from an eternal perspective takes all the power from it. Why? Because fear results from the unknown. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, repetition helps to sharpen the focus. More details regarding the process of giving here than in the previous two times that he spoke it. Verse 19. and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. The Jews had no power to execute Jesus. They depended on the Gentiles. Both Jews and Gentiles had a hand in killing Jesus. And he reconciled them both to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 makes that clear. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So, why the prediction? Well, to keep it all in the right focus. And then third, why the proclamation? Look at the second part of verse 19. He will rise again. What was the reason for proclaiming his own resurrection? Encouragement to himself? There is reassurance in reciting the plan and looking beyond the suffering to the glory that will result. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So encouragement to himself, encouragement to his disciples, so they will not be overwhelmed to despair when the arrest and the crucifixion occurs. So encouragement to himself, encouragement to his disciples, encouragement to believers today to give us hope in suffering. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Listen what Paul says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting what those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Where is your hope? In the temporal stuff of this world? Or in the eternal promises of God? You think about that, and you have a great day.